अहो विचित्रं भगवद्विचेष्टितं न्यन्तं जनोयं हि मिशन्न पश्यति ध्यायानसद्यर्हि विक्रं सेवितं निर्हृत्य पुत्रं पितरं जिजीविसति
Aho, alas, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Alas, how wonderful it is that the foolish materialist does not heed the great danger of impending death. He knows that death will surely come, yet he is nevertheless callous and neglectful. If his father dies, he wants to enjoy his father's property. And if his son dies, he wants to enjoy his son's possessions as well. In either case, he heedlessly tries to enjoy material happiness with the acquired money. Purport. Material happiness means to have good facilities for eating, sleeping, sexual intercourse, and defense. Within this world, the materialistic person lives only for these four principles of sense gratification, not caring for the impending danger of death. After his father's death, a son tries to inherit his money and use it for sense gratification. Similarly, one whose son dies tries to enjoy the possessions of his son. Sometimes the father of a dead son even enjoys his son's widow. Materialistic persons behave in this way. Thus, Sukhdev Goswami says, how wonderful are these pastimes of material happiness transacted by the will of Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, materialistic persons want to commit all kinds of sinful activities. But without the sanction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, no one can do anything. Why does the Supreme Personality of Godhead permit sinful activities? The Supreme Lord does not want any living being to act sinfully, and he begs him through his good conscience to refrain from sin. But when someone insists upon acting sinfully, the Supreme Lord gives him the sanction to act at his own risk. Mattah smritir jnanam apohanam cha. No one can do anything without the sanction of the Lord. But he is so kind that when the conditioned soul persists in doing something, the Lord permits the individual soul to act at his own risk. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, sons always outlive their father in other planetary systems and other lands in this universe, especially on Swargaloka. However, on this planet, Earth, a son often dies before his father, and the materialistic father is pleased to enjoy the possessions of his son. Neither the father nor the son can see the reality that both of them are awaiting death. When death comes, however, all their plans for material enjoyment are finished. Alas, how wonderful it is that the foolish materialist does not heed the great danger of impending death. He knows that death will surely come, yet he is nevertheless callous and neglectful. If his father dies, he wants to enjoy his father's property, and if his son dies, he wants to enjoy his son's possession as well. In either case, he heedlessly tries to enjoy material happiness with the acquired money. So, in today's verse, we can see how Srila Prabhupada, sometimes you feel he's a little too rough and gross with the materialists, especially. Whenever you hear Srila Prabhupada's lectures, his conversations especially, and he's having discussions, he would be very heavy with materialist and very gross. Nowadays we are doing deity dressing and every day we listen to Prabhupada's conversations, morning walks. And he would generally use one particular word, rascal. That's his favorite word. And he would not spare anyone trying to put that word, especially for materialist. And I was thinking that Srila Prabhupada is calling so many people rascal and this and that. And he's writing over here that people are materially engrossed in trying to enjoy so many different ways, sense gratification. But what should we do when we look at such people? How should our approach be when we look or come across such materialistic persons? Can we call them rascals? Can we also chastise in such a way as Srila Prabhupada is doing? Should we think that these people are lower than me and I am much higher and more qualified? As we regularly hear in our lectures, that person should be humbler than the blade of grass, more tolerant than the tree. That principle is very much applied even over here. When coming across people who are materialist, personally speaking for myself, as long as devotees came into my life, I was a full-fledged materialist. So if I take the liberty to go out and blame people or look down upon them, all I have to do is just look in my past. That how, because of the compassion of the devotees, I am right now well situated. Compassion or kripa, it flows in the parampara. There is a nice verse which says, Sam ashrita ye pada pallava plavam mahatpadam punya yasho murare bhavam bhudir vatsapadam parampadam padam padam yat vipadam natesham. And it says that these great souls in our parampara, who are helping all these fallen conditioned souls over here to go across this material ocean and go back home, back to Godhead. They use the boat of mercy, of compassion. And using this boat, they help every individual person to come, help him and take him on the other side of this material ocean. So this boat is always available over there at the shore. And the ocean is very big. As soon as one approaches the boat, that is the boat of lotus feet of the Lord, surrendering to the Lord, the ocean immediately turns very small and it becomes very easy. The point I'm making is that unless and until one gets the mercy and compassion of the devotees, one cannot go across this ocean of birth and death. Similarly, when Srila Prabhupada is talking about these materialists, it is out of compassion. It is out of mercy. It is out of the desire to give this boat to them, free of charge. Take them across this ocean. So here, we should understand that how causeless mercy is available to everyone. The qualities of a sadhu are titikshava karunika surda sarva dehinam. He is friend of all living entities. He is also karunika, very merciful. So there is this wonderful pastime of Srila Prabhupada, that how he started this whole book distribution everywhere. And through the book distribution, he is giving his mercy, causeless mercy to everyone. I remember one time a devotee was giving a class and he said that there are materialists all over the world. And in India, we are very fortunate. But especially in the West, nobody knows anything about God. But because of Srila Prabhupada's book distribution, so many people have benefited. If you know, one devotee was here last few weeks back from Burma. He was giving a class and he was telling me how he became a devotee. Because in Burma, it's very difficult for anybody to practice Krishna consciousness. It's very rare. Right now, even they had their first Burmese Bhagavad Gita just few months back. And that also, they're doing it underground. So he said that somehow he came across the BTG magazine somewhere. And in that, he found the letter which says, if you want to order more books, you can fill in your name and send it across. So he filled in and he signed off for that. He posted it. And one day when he came back home, he found that a white man was sitting in his house and his mother was feeding him lunch, sabji, chapati, like that. Because he himself is a South Indian actually, but his ancestors have settled over there. So then he inquired that who this man was. And this man was, at that time, Brahmachari, Bhakti Vikas Swami Maharaj. And he had received that letter. He read that letter. And he could have actually sent books through VPP or post to Burma. But he thought, there is one person in Burma who wants to practice Krishna consciousness, then I should go personally. And he flew all the way and came to Burma and preached to this person and brought books for him. And he would do that every month. And by doing like this, this person became a devotee. And he was telling me another time in Burma, someone was just wrapping fruits in the paper. And this person, he was very sad. He found that paper, he read it, and he became devotee. Another time in the West, someone was traveling, a couple which was very, very sad and frustrated of material life, decided to go and stay in isolation. Sometimes devotees also do that. They want to just go away from everything and stay alone. So they went on a mountain and stayed over there. Just at that time, a person was going for mountain climbing. He wanted to win over this particular mountain. He didn't know there's two people staying up there. And as he was about to start his hiking, a book distributor approached him. And he said, please buy a book. He said, I'm going for hiking. I'm going to climb a mountain. What will I do with the book? Somehow he was convinced. And this book was sold to him. And he kept this small book. And he climbed the mountain. Far away in the mountain, when he went up there, he met these two people, a man and a woman. And he gave this book to them. Being happy with them, he gave them as a gift. They read that book they became inspired, they came out of their frustration and they came and visited the temple and became devotees. So Srila Prabhupada's mercy, the causeless mercy, is being spread in such a way. So Srila Prabhupada is calling these people as materialist out of compassion. But on the same hand, we see that people who are involved in sense gratification, Gaurang Prabhu gives an example for that. It is just like this human body is like an airplane. We have so much of traffic over here. You find if you want to travel somewhere, you take your car and you go to your destination. At the same time, you can always travel by plane also, if you're going to different places. So if someone wants to travel to some destination and he takes his airplane and starts riding the airplane on the street, then that is not the right use of an airplane. Just like different people are driving Qualis, someone is driving a Honda, someone is driving a Mercedes. Similarly, just next to him, you have your 747 Boeing airplane riding beside him. You can do that. You can ride a plane. But that is not the best use of a plane. If you know what is the right use of a plane, the plane can take you across different countries. Similarly, for a materialist, he does not understand that this airplane of body can actually fly me across this material world and take me back home, back to Godhead. I have an airplane with me. I am a rich man. Any individual who has a material body is actually very fortunate if he uses it in the right way. But what happens to them? One Udupi sannyasi gave another example of the situation of, and recently Shikshastakam Prabhu was quoting this and it clicked me a lot, that how if you see the Ganges flowing river and there is a dead corpse in the river, and you know ultimately the river goes and ends into the sea, place called as Ganga Sagar. So when a crow, he sees the dead corpse as the river is going to enter into the sea, the crow goes and sits on the corpse because he sees there is nice food for me, and he starts enjoying, relishing the mellow of that corpse, and he's having nice fun, having his party on the, and simultaneously he's so engrossed in doing his sense gratification. But what happens? The corpse, dead body, is slowly entering into the sea, and then it goes on moving, floating, 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 more deeper, deeper, and more deeper inside the sea. And the crow is just enjoying, and then suddenly he feels, okay, now I've had enough. And then he realizes that he's in the middle of sea, because the crow is actually not a very powerful bird to fly across ocean. And he sees that now that the corpse is in sea, different fishes are actually eating it away. So from his very standing, his only shelter on which he is standing, is slowly being eaten away. And he has no place to fly and go away. So he is going to be finished. So that is the situation of materialist in this world. They are having so much of sense gratification. Very recently there was different festivals which in material world people enjoy with lot of pomp, hue and cry. And the end of the year especially is a big money business for everyone over here, especially for the materialist. And people spend money like water for sense gratification on 31st nights, get drunk. But little do they realize that as they are doing this sense gratification, they are actually like the crow who is trying to enjoy. And with every year which they are enjoying, what is happening? They are coming closer to death. So they do not realize that. And their suffering is illusion, it's covered. So devotees, on the same hand, what do they do? As a matter of fact, there is sometimes people misunderstand between devotees and pious people, religious people. Religious people also do a lot of sense gratification, but they feel that we are very, very well-to-do. We are not like those bad karmis who do a lot of drinking and eating meat. There is actually not much difference unless and until you surrender to Krishna. They are also going to come closer to death and take birth again. How is that? Just like this corpse is actually floating, but it is floating in Ganga. So Ganga is a very pious river. It is a holy river. So one may feel, I am a very pious man. I am religious. I am doing so many yajnas. I am doing charity. So he may feel like that. And he may feel that I am a crow enjoying in the Ganges. But ultimately he is going to end. So devotees, on the other hand, they welcome death. We don't have to go very far. As Loknath Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada festival in Vrindavan was saying, that when Srila Prabhupada brought the Western devotees over here in India, the Indians were complaining, this is all fake. There is nothing like white sadhu. Westerners can never be sadhu. And they were, you know, criticizing in so many different words. How can you have these sadhus? You are giving them Brahman initiation, this, that. And then Loknath Maharaj said that the result can be seen now. As our devotees, the first generation batch of Srila Prabhupada disciples, are slowly leaving their body. And he started quoting how His Holiness Sridhar Maharaj left his body. How His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj left his body. How they left this body. Now, by the result, you come to know that how these people are actual sadhus. They are real devotees. So, one may do a lot of things during his lifetime, but when death comes, that is a time of test, and one comes to know how much he has actually studied through his life. As this devotee was mentioning, that we may do a lot of activities, but at the time of death, how much attachment to Krishna we have actually cultivated. So, in the pastime of Puranjan, in one section, this wonderful explanation of death is given. We may not have time to complete the whole thing, but we'd like to mention a little bit about it. And it speaks about, starts with Pura Anjana, the body of city of nine gates. Our body has nine gates. Eyes, nose, mouth, ears, genitals, anus, like that. And this body, we get and we try to enjoy. But with time, the body changes. And time is called as a person by the name Chandavega. Chandavega, Vega means fast actually. And he attacks, time attacks. Attack of Chandavega. And what happens when time attacks? we lose three things. We lose our objects of sense enjoyment. We lose the facility through which we were enjoying those objects. And ultimately, the enjoyer himself is lost. There are so many examples for each of them. I'll just give one. One person, he came to Bombay to make it big. And then he joined, started working in a hotel, in a restaurant. And whenever he was working, so many different items would be made. He was very much attracted to eating batata vada. And whenever he could get some opportunity, he would steal some and eat it. But and he would always think, there will be a time when I will eat as much batata vada as I want. And of course, he made it big in life. He made it so big that actually he could make as much batata vada as he wanted. He could do anything. He could make t-shirts labeled batata vada. He could name his shop. He could name his children by that name. He could do anything. He became very, very rich. But later, when he had all that money, he realized that he didn't have the capacity because he had stomach problem, he had diabetes, he had liver problem, so he could not eat that. So, with time, the facilities for enjoyment are taken away. And this Chandavega king, he has 360 soldiers. And these particular soldiers, they are the different days of the year, 360 days. And they attack this city of nine gates. So, the days and the nights, they start plundering the city. And as this king, Puranjan, that is the living entity, when he is the king, he starts extracting taxes from people. That means he demands from his body that do this, do that, because right now he is the king, he has the facility, he is young, he is strong. But then Chandavega also has a daughter and her name is Kalkanya. And this Kalkanya, she is actually looking for a husband. And as she is searching for a husband, what happens? Who's Kalkanya? Kalkanya is compared to old age or Jara. So as time is passing by, old age comes on an individual. As soon as Kalkanya comes, Prabhupada writes that no one likes to be invalid, no one likes to be old, but it is inevitable. One has to become. Even devotees, what about them? They will also become old. Srila Prabhupada himself was very old actually, even when he was writing these purports. But still he's mentioning that how, during one time Srila Prabhupada was being massaged. And he started, when someone is massaging your body may move and shake. So Srila Prabhupada lifted his hand and he showed his biceps. And he said, one time I would eat 10 puris and halwa. And then he caught hold of his sagging skin and he said, now flat tire. Now I have flat tire. Like that. So when a person is young, when especially the youth from 16 to 30, person is hyperactive. He feels that he will never become old. And he feels that the whole world, I can do anything, I can change the whole world. But these particular years, they pass by so fast. And the whole material civilization, you see, is telling us that during these years, enjoy life to the topmost. Like in colleges, even the college authorities support all this, surprisingly, because they are also in ignorance. They celebrate different days for the students and they provide special facility. And I have seen personally that how students, even the teachers come to attend because they are invited as chief guest. One time we went with some actors to a very famous college, very jazzy. Over there, the student had organized fashion show. And all these students were wearing very fashionable clothes and all their dear teachers, gurus, were sitting right in front. And all the girls and the boys, they were walking on the ramp and teachers were appreciating, see, so nice. They're getting so advanced. They're enjoying life so much. They should do that. They should do sense gratification. And even parents, they encourage. Oh, very nice. You know my son? He has so many nice, wonderful friends and girlfriends. He's enjoying so much. I'm so proud of him. Especially Devamrit Maharaj, he quotes this regularly. When in the West, if a young boy doesn't have girlfriend when he's 12, 13 years old, parents take him to the psychologist. Maybe something is wrong with him. Like that. So, all these days, people encourage sense gratification so much. But Vedic system is so much different. What is Vedic? Shyamanand Prabhu says, Vedic does not mean that give up smoking cigarette and take to ganja. That is not Vedic. Vedic system over here is how it is mentioned in the scriptures. The scriptures says that especially during this time, one should follow complete brahmacharya. From the young age up to the age of 25. And the material civilization is completely opposite. During this time, enjoy life. But Vedic system is control your senses. Here we are said, let your senses go all out. But Vedic system says no, restrain and control. Samanas Prabhupada, why you have so many young people in your organization? Prabhupada said, why you have so many young people in your schools and colleges? He said, because that is the time of learning. So Prabhupada, yes, this is the time for learning. To understand Krishna consciousness. As the saying goes, one cannot teach new tricks to an old dog. So sense gratification is very rampant. Prabhupada was going on morning walk and regularly these people would come. They're not necessarily devotees. He asked them, what do you do in the morning? I take my breakfast. Prabhupada said, even pigs do that. So, sense gratification everyone is doing. What special are you doing? We should be trying to learn to control our senses. Even elderly people, because they are not trained up, because they do not know what is the goal of life, what happens? Even when they, because this age of 16 to 30 has passed off, now they are beyond 30, 35, 40, but they never had any training. So they're still wondering that I'm still young. So let me take some hydrogen peroxide, color my hair, and still be young. They look so odd. They look like a different species, old people, especially. Anyways, but especially when put more of these things, then more weird. So, there has to be, this is the illusion actually. One has to come out of illusion. Even at elderly age, one remains in illusion. What is this illusion? Maharaj was mentioning, what is this illusion? Illusion is, if one time we went for a fair, you know, you have this giant wheel and so many things, you have different stalls over there. And there is always one stall. It is called as the magic stall. And you go in that stall and there people show you different magic tricks. And you can see all these magic tricks and you're surprised. You wonder how he's doing it. Wow. He takes a string and he tells you, hold this. He cuts the string and then and he says, now put your hand over it. And then same string which you cut with your hand and it is again joined. There is no not in between. So then what they do is, because that they cannot make more money, so there is also a small label on the side that for every tick, there is a small room inside. You pay 10, 20, 30 rupees and we will teach you those tricks. But not outside. You have to come inside and we'll teach you. So outside, you're like, wow, oh, this is amazing. Especially, so some of her friends, they went. They said, I cut the string and he put a knot and then I put my hand over it and then it disappeared. Say, how much do I have to pay for this? Say, pay 25 rupees and we'll teach you. So he paid 25 rupees and then he went inside. And inside, they showed him that how actually the string was cut and he tied a knot. The knot was actually made of another small string which he tied and he pulled it out and there was no knot naturally. And he said, my, this is so simple. I mean, before I knew this, it was a big thing. It was illusion. But now it is no more illusion. And I don't feel like paying 25 now. The first thing they do is take the money from you. And then they teach you. Similarly, the materialist, because they want to enjoy, Prabhupada writes in the purport that they cannot enjoy without the sanction of the Lord. So they want to enjoy, so the Lord gives them permission. And he puts them in illusion. But for devotees, he removes the illusion. So for this whole material world is a zapping experience for them. Just they're enjoying sense gratification. Everything is illusion. Oh, wow, very nice. Everything nice. Oh, so beautiful. This is so nice. This enjoyment is so wonderful. This food is so good. This person is looking so beautiful. And even after getting kicked again and again, they feel, no, more enjoyment, more magic. But for devotee, he knows, this is all illusion. This is nothing. This is just simply illusory energy covering everything. He can see it clearly. Why? Because Krishna removes that illusion. He is the great magician. So many examples are given like that. How one time one big person actually made the big magician made the Statue of Liberty disappear. And Maharaj was quoting in one lecture. Statue of Liberty, the whole thousands of people came. It's one of the biggest statues in America. It actually symbolizes the whole of America. And then they put curtains by helicopter and suddenly it was gone. And people were sad. They were so agitated and so disturbed. America has lost its liberty. And then after some time again they put curtains and liberty statue was there. So that does not mean that liberty actually went. It was just an illusion. Similarly, Krishna makes this illusion for individuals. So death is impending and Kala Kanya, she is approaching every individual. And she will also approach devotees. As she approached, and Narad Muni is narrating this story, and he says that Kala Kanya came to me also. But Narad Muni, he refused her. Old. So, oldness is a preacher, a devotee is free from that type of oldness. As a matter of fact, Narad Muni acted as marriage board and he diverted her to Yavanraj. And she went to Yavanraj. Yavanraj is fear. So, when death comes and fear comes, when a person is going to die, he is fearful. Just like Bhakti Tirth Maharaj, when he was leaving his body, every day he was welcoming death. Every morning he would see the sun and he would feel, oh, I have not yet left my body. I want to go closer. He was not fearful. Fearful, oh, death is coming. One of our brahmachari, he was a doctor, is working in the hospital and he said, I saw many people die. It's very horrible, actually, to if you go in a hospital. I don't see that much in Bhaktivedanta, but especially if you go to the government hospital, it's very gross. One time when Bhaktivedanta hospital was not in action, it was closed for some time, some VTA devotee fell sick. And he was a boy from a wealthy family, nice, chubby, healthy, but he fell sick. So we had to send him to a government hospital We said, you stay here, we'll give you treatment. He said, no, I want to go to the hospital. I don't want to take chances. So we sent him to the hospital, and one devotee was sent to him, with him. And as he lie down in the general ward, you know, he didn't have experience of the general ward, I'm sure. He saw the person next to him left his body. As soon as he came in the hospital, first thing he saw, the person on his left the body. Person right in front was crying and howling because his legs were cut off in some accident. And he was shouting, he was bleeding. And person on his right started passing stool vigorously and howling. And he was miserable. He said, please take me back to the temple. I don't mind. I'll stay in the temple. So, even before dying, person is fearful. What to speak of when death comes? So this devotee who was working as a doctor, he was taking care of one patient who was actually a don. You know what is a don? Don is, he was like a mafia guy. And easily visible. Mafia people, he was tall, he was very heavy built. He had a lot of gold chain around his neck. And he was sick. He was suffering from a terminal disease actually. And he had a wife and he had a child. And he was always on his mobile, talking to different people. And everyone would respect him, even in the hospital, because he was so strong. If you look at him, he was like... But one day, when he was sick, and this devotee came, his doctor was also frightened to treat him. He's a mafia. But he was sick, and he was really, really suffering from fever. And the fever over here... is called as Prajwar. So, Prabhupada writes in the purport that actually, when a materialistic wants to enjoy, a father can even enjoy his son's widow. So fallen. So here, Yavan Raj, whose fear, Kal Kanya proposes him, but he does not marry her. He takes her as his sister and marries her to Prajwar. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that it is illicit sex. Like that. So, this person was fearful and he started shouting. There was nobody standing over there, but in the air he was calling out, my son, come here, do this. When I am gone, you do this. Like that, he was shouting. And he's telling his wife, no, you take care of the house, you take care of this. And our devotee doctor realized that this person is going to leave his body. So he came and he said, chant Hare Krishna. He was telling this gunda, chant Hare Krishna. But this person, he was saying, what will happen if I tell all these things? I cannot say all this. This is useless. And he suddenly started shouting, take this dog away. Take this dog out of the room. He started shouting like that. And then after some time, of course he didn't chant Hare Krishna. And in a miserable way, he left his body. So in the scriptures, somewhere it is mentioned that when the Yamaraj, before sending the Yamadutas, he actually sends a dog to sniff the sinful person. And the dog is as big as the room. Huge dog comes like that. So this person was actually seeing. And fear, out of fear, Prajwar means... The fever goes from 106 to 107. Very high fever. And then the person leaves his body. So, like that, the nine gates are attacked and a person dies. But a devotee, Srila Prabhupada, he was very strong. Because he was a devotee, he is not fearful of death. Prabhupada, before leaving his body, he said, Kuch Ichha Nahi. So, when we are chanting Hare Krishna, our goal is that we come to that level of Kuch Ichha Nahi, fully surrender to Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any comments, questions? Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavat Puran ki.